Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
It is. Welcome to the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios. It is Memorial Day weekend. It is officially Memorial Day weekend. You may be on your way home from work. You may be at work still. But it is officially Memorial Day weekend. So I hope you're planning on having a great one. I am. I have some very close friends coming up from Florida. Going to spend some time with their family, with our family. And remember why we have this time off. Now, on the Monster broadcast coming up in a couple of days, I will tell you a story that I do on most Memorial Day broadcasts. On the weekend, I'll tell you the story of my, of Captain Anthony Geiser, World War II hero, B-26 Marauder pilot, and his crew. I'll give you the crib note version. Now, you can wait till the Monster show to get the full version, but Tony Geiser was leading a formation of B-26 Marauders, a much maligned aircraft, by the way, except for those who flew it. If you know anything about it, I've studied it over the years. But it was a tough aircraft to fly, but the guys that flew it loved it. Loved it. I guess it made flying anything else easier. But crib note version is that Tony was leading a formation going to take Scheifele Air Force Base away from the Nazis, going to bomb that thing into oblivion over Amsterdam. He got hit by some flak leading the formation. He was able to keep that bird in front of the rest of the aircraft, keeping that formation intact before he went down. And he was able to deliver his payload successfully before he went down. Eyewitness accounts from those in formation watching their lead aircraft and the head of that mission fighting to keep that aircraft in position for the rest of the formation safety. And he was able to do that and release that payload before going down in a ball of flames. Captain Anthony Geiser, Tony Geiser, is my great uncle. He was 23 years old when he lost his life on that bombing run during World War II. And we're all very proud of him and his crew. And they are now interned where they should be, and that's at Arlington National Cemetery. So, you know, we all have an Anthony Geiser in our family. We all do. No question about it. Somewhere in our lineage, we have an Anthony Geiser. But I'll be talking about this with David Cote on the Monster broadcast, and that's why we have the freedoms we have today. It's why we're able to celebrate the weekend that we, in the way that we choose to do so as free men and women. This is a very dangerous world. As the news, as you watch and pay attention to the news and you listen to radio, you watch it, you read it, you understand it, that we live in very dangerous times. So never forget that. Hey, I have a great show planned for you today for Memorial Day weekend to kick it off. Going to be a great time. Stacy on the right, Stacy Washington, joins me from up in St. Louis. Hey, Stacy, how you doing today?
I'm so glad it's Friday. I'm ready for the weekend.
All right, I bet you are. You know what? I am, too, be honest with you. I'm going to do something different with you, okay? And I don't mean to catch you off guard here, but I have absolutely nothing planned for you today, intentionally. Nothing.
I wasn't sure what you were going to say. Okay.
I know. I knew I was going to scare you. I was going to throw you for a scare there. But I was no test or anything. I would never put you on the spot. But here's the fun thing. The two of us do this for a living, right? We talk on the radio.
Oh, goodness,
and here, what I've always found to make great radio is when two like minds get together, and I know listeners enjoy this. I want this show to be kind of like, I'll paint the theater of the mind for you, which is what radio is. The two of us sitting down in a restaurant together or a bar somewhere or meeting somewhere, wherever we happen to be, going, hey, how's it going? And we sit down, you got an hour, let's chat for a little bit. And boom, the conversation starts. You don't script conversations when you run into somebody, do you?
No, no way. And I do have an interesting question I would want to ask you.
Sure.
Can I be
scared?
No, don't be. This one's easy. This is easy. So you're someplace like regular business place. You're a radio guy, but you're also into guns and all that. But you're not armed. This is a, you know, regular business type of a situation. And you're in there, and you know members of the public are there. And a reporter approaches you and wants to ask you a question, but I'm sitting there waiting to interview you, you know, so I've got my camera set up and we're going to do a quick interview. And so you tell the reporter, look, I can't do this right now. I've got this interview here with Stacy. I'm going to do this. And so I'll talk to you later. And the guy sticks his camera in your face and he gets in your personal space, and he's not getting down. He's not backing down. He's getting more belligerent. He's yelling at you. Some of his spittle from his mouth may or may not have, you felt it hit you in the face. And so what now? What you going to do?
I'd probably push him away.
What if he grabbed onto your arm, the arm that you used to kind of push him back? He grabbed onto that arm, and you felt like, you know, it's not a second grab. It's like he's still holding onto it. At that point, what's going to happen?
There would probably be a scuffle caught on tape. That would probably make news somewhere, right?
Thinking to myself that I would have, and the minute she said, hey, could you get out of here? I'd probably have my phone on, like, get
it. Somebody's going to get it. And it would probably make the news. And
so the guy who's light on his feet and a millennial pansy, never gotten in a fight before, doesn't understand real men at this point, because you've now, you know, you're working against his hand, which is holding onto your wrist. He's probably going to hit the floor pretty hard because he's going to go off of his feet pretty easily because he's a lightweight. And at that point, you might not take Gianforte's, you know, tack, which was to wail on the guy a little bit, just make sure he knew he was on the ground. But what I'm saying is, any real man, whether you're overtly macho or just a regular guy, is not going to take kindly to having some other man get in his personal space and refuse to move.
No.
And so, you know, we have kids, and I often take the stories of the Newsday. I'll mention it to the kids, and we'll have a little discussion. And especially if there's an opportunity to kind of point something out, you know, something that's a real world application. Like, remember, guys, you know, if you're in this situation, try to do this. And so we do that sometimes, and it's not all the time, but we do. And this is one of those situations where we're going to be discussing it tonight. And the fact that Gianforte went on to win the election by 7 points is just gravy for me. It makes me feel wonderful, you know, it's the business that we do. But the other part, the part where men know other men will respond with force if provoked, that's supposed to be common sense that you learn at home as a young man before you go out into the world. And it looks like the snowflakes aren't getting that.
You know, this is a really interesting topic because I asked the question yesterday. We could really go down a couple holes here. But before we do, let me pose a question to you that I have not seen asked anywhere. Maybe I've missed it. But in all of my media travels today in the monitors, and I'm looking at three of them right now, and I haven't seen anything yet. Maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong. But has anyone else out there put out the theory that maybe he won the election by 7 points because of what he did with the reporter?
Yes, a couple people have mentioned that it might be a lot of Montanans thought what he did was completely appropriate, and now they're very, very happy to vote for him. But they did say that about 30% of the people had already cast their votes because of early voting. So I don't know.
All right, now let me ask this question then. Is that a problem from a gun standpoint? This is a big deal. Early voting, this is a big deal. When you're talking about states like Florida that make a difference in national elections, obviously, and you've got your gun rights on the line, like we saw with What's-Her-Face after What's-His-Face's second term was done, and we had a feeling that if Donald Trump didn't win and What's-Her-Face did win, we had a real problem on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then something breaks a month later after you've already voted. Oh, boy. Is this a good idea? You're chuckling. Well, you know, that's a big conversation right now about what happened in Montana. 30% of those votes were cast. Then you have this incident, and let's just play fair. Let's say maybe there are snowflakes out there who voted for him that wouldn't have after this incident. Let's be fair. Let's even go on
and
the left side
of it. They wanted to change their votes, right? They wanted to change their votes, or people who voted for Hillary Clinton and they wanted to change their vote after they heard. You know, I don't think early voting was as early as that for the presidential election, but I'm not a huge fan of early voting, even though I've used it before. I used early voting once when we were going on vacation to vote in a primary, and I was grateful to be able to do it. But I kind of feel like the fact that it's all on one day and everybody has to do it, or you can absentee vote, but those votes don't kick in unless the election is really close. I actually think that's what we should stick with for this very reason, because if you voted for him and you didn't want him to keep your vote, you were locked in. And if you didn't vote for him, you voted for someone else, and then you saw this, and you saw him, you know, wail on this guy, you're like, that's who I should have voted for. Well, you couldn't change it then either. So, no, I'm not a fan of the early voting. Most people, you know, who look like me, most black people, are a fan of the early voting because they've been convinced by the Democrats that early voting increases voter turnout for minority groups. I don't believe that's so true. It gives Democrats more of an opportunity to bus people from place to place to place to do the quote-unquote early voting, which, you know, to me often indicates fraudulent, but I have nothing to back that up except a few stories, nothing widespread. But I just feel like we're supposed to the founders set it up so you go vote. It was always a Tuesday, the first Tuesday of this or, you know, second Tuesday of that. You go vote, and then you're done. It's all in one day, and then you're done. Mm-hmm. You tally the stuff up, you're done. It's not something that goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks and rolls and rolls and rolls.
No, it's been politicized. The whole thing, this sounds kind of silly. We're getting ready to take a break, but the whole thing has been politicized to the point where certain groups want early voting because they think it does certain things, and they can manipulate the system. When we come back, I want to go to the awareness thing, dovetailing on what we just talked about. Stacey on the right after this.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours. Thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today. And there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Coming up on the Monster broadcast this weekend, I'll be talking. We're going to do some fun stuff. We're going to change up the hours in the guest lineup a little bit. AWR Hawkins is traveling, so we want him to be able to take some time off with his family as well, get himself back home safely. He's been covering the White House and up at an NSSF event, and I've got some great photographs of him up there with Chief of Staff and stuff like that, really cool stuff in D.C. from our good friend and political contributor here, our political analyst. My good friend means he's your good friend, AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News. So we won't be hearing from him this weekend. We're going to bring David Kodria into hour one of the broadcast. It'll be a great interview with David. Can't wait for that. We're going to tell you some of the Memorial Day stories and some remembrances. I'm going to give you the little bit longer version, if you will, of my great uncle's bombing mission over Amsterdam, where he was shot down and killed. It's an amazing story, true story of Americana and patriotism and heroism he was. And we all have someone like that in our family. All of us do. Somewhere down the line, we all have someone like that in our families. And then we're going to move Alan Gottlieb. Alan is kind enough to join us in hour two, which is going to be huge. WTKK listeners in Raleigh, North Carolina, you're going to get a real treat because you're going to hear from Alan during that hour, which you don't normally get to hear. So fun stuff for you. Going to be a great program. Hour three, I'm going to replay my interview with Dave Workman from last week, which was so hilarious. The two of us could barely get the words out. We were laughing so hard. It will make a Memorial Day weekend fun for you to hear us crack each other up. It was a great interview. Right now I'm talking with Stacy on the right, Stacy Washington from St. Louis, who is going to be here for the remainder of the hour, and we're just going to have some fun. Nothing scripted, a conversation on the fly. Stacy, always fun to talk to you. Can't wait till you're on the next time, and I'm not even through this hour yet.
I know. I love coming on. When you texted me, I didn't reply back straight off, and I was like, I picked my phone up. I'm like, oh, I have to text. I said, oh, my goodness, I missed my opportunity. So I sit back, sure, I can come on. I was thinking he's going to say, I already got somebody. You're like,
No.
I'm like, yay.
Yeah, love it. I wanted to have you today. Be a lot of fun. And I knew if we did something unscripted, you know, what do you want to talk about? I don't like to talk about that. In fact, some of my guests, I've been a guest on countless hundreds and hundreds of radio shows, not just nationally, local, and internationally. But I really don't like that pre-interview thing some folks do, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, I hate that.
Well, you get, once you let that thought out, then you tend not to talk about it, and I don't want to let that thought out.
I almost avoid it because we've talked. Now what are we going to talk about?
Exactly.
I've been on interviews that were 45 minutes long, and then later they're like, no, we decided to go another way. I'm like, but you wasted 45 minutes of my time. I almost feel like sending them an invoice. Like, here's, you owe me for 45 minutes of my time at some astronomical rate because you wasted my time with that pre-interview. I love the unscripted, and I also think listeners really appreciate it because they're getting an opportunity to listen in on what we're talking about, which is the stuff that really a lot of Americans are sitting around on a Friday night, and they're touching on some of these issues. The Gianforte story has really risen to a level where it's eclipsed a lot of things that are going on that are actually really more important, like the Debbie Wasserman Schultz, her demanding that the chief of the Capitol Police give her her laptop back because she wasn't directly implicated in the investigation of her IT staffer. You know, this guy read every single email that every congressman in that office sent out, all of their aides, every attachment, and he and his two brothers and the stepmom have connections to Hezbollah. I mean, this is a story. It should be on CBS, NBC, ABC, and they're not talking about it. So, you know, your listeners are relying on us to kind of, you know, coffee talk this thing on through. And that's one of the stories I hope people will take a minute and go look on, like, the Daily Caller and watch Debbie Wasserman's face. Her face, she's in Crazy Town. She's taking the bullet train to Crazy Town. She's there setting up camp. She's queen of Crazy Town in that moment. I've never seen her look that angry on TV before. She's mad over that laptop.
You know what I love about the hypocrisy from those folks? I love when they do things like ask for increased armed security on Capitol Hill while at the same time calling for more gun control for you, Stacey, and for me. I sit
She's
there and I think
one of the main ones.
Right, exactly. And it kills me when I see guys like Michael Bloomberg talk to me surrounded by private paid security guards. Some of them he's put in retirement and paid them more than the New York City Police Department will pay them. Okay, he's got them in mid six figures to secure his perimeter and his surrounding. They're standing there armed, and he's talking to you about gun controlling you. And it kills me. Let's go back to the Gianforte thing for a second. Let's take another take that other talk shows aren't talking about. The other day I mentioned when someone approaches you, and you don't know this person, so here's some theater of the mind. Stacey, you're walking out of, I don't know, a Walmart. It's 11 o'clock at night. You had to go get some groceries you forgot because you got people coming over for breakfast and you needed some ingredients. So you bolted over to Walmart because it's 24/7. You're walking back to your car. It's 11:30 in the evening. It's dark out. And all of a sudden, as you're putting your stuff in the back of your car, your trunk, the side of your car, whatever it is, a car pulls up, guy gets out and starts walking over to you. Excuse me. Excuse me. Can any good come from that?
No. Mm-mm.
Do you have an obligation to talk to that person at all and acknowledge them other than to say, get away from me now? Do you have an obligation to talk to that stranger? And at any time when someone's approaching you, are you obligated?
No, and especially for women out there, no, because we always feel like we have to be nice. But being nice is your enemy when you're talking about your personal safety. I would say stop and put my hand up. And I'd say, don't come any closer. And I'd say it loud enough so that anyone within in the parking lot could also hear it. So I'd have that kind of eyewitness backup that I warn the person not to enter my personal space. You're too close. Stop. Stay there. Do not approach me. And if they kept coming, I'd have to leave my groceries and everything right there and get in my vehicle and shut the door and lock the doors.
But that's and hopefully,
the police, you know,
well, and hopefully you can get away. Hopefully you can get away, and if you can't get away, hopefully you have some type of means of self-defense that you can that you can employ at that moment in time. God forbid that you have to do that. Now, the reason I mentioned Gianforte, go ahead.
I just want to point out one more thing. So it's really important if you're concealed carry certified to find out from a source that you trust that you can then verify by looking at the law what the rule is for when you can defend yourself with your firearm inside your vehicle. I'm in a, you know, concealed carry. We have open carry here in Missouri. In certain municipalities, it's banned, so you can't do it there. We also have permitless carry. It's kind of a convoluted, complex set of rules for that. But let's talk about, like, remember when there were the protests and the people were blocking off the roads, and then if you tried to drive through, they would pound on your vehicle. So I called up the person who trained me for my CCW to ask him when I could defend myself if I'm in the car with my kids and they, you know, they're banging on my car. And he says, you can't do anything unless they break the window. Mm-hmm. And once their arms are inside the car, then you can defend yourself. And then he cited the rules. And since then, the rules have been expanded so that it's even nicer. Now the Castle Doctrine applies to my vehicle and we have Stand Your Ground here in the state of Missouri. But before that, at the time, he said, remember, it's aim, access, intent, and means. You have to have all of those present before you defend yourself. So what I'm saying is don't take my word for it. Even if you live in the state of Missouri, find out what the law is in your area if you're concealed carry certified. Buff up on it. Make sure you understand what you can and can't do. But the best thing for women especially is you're to be assertive in the beginning, before the person is within your personal space, within reaching distance, to tell them that you want them to stay away, warn them loudly to stay out of your personal space, and then be willing to leave anything that you have, like you bought groceries or whatever, that's not worth your life, leave it there and get in the car and shut the door and all of the doors and lock them to prepare for the next phase of this encounter if it gets that far.
Perfect timing. We'll end this segment right there. Great advice from Stacey Washington, Stacey on the Right. You can check her out, too, at StaceyOnTheRight.com. We'll be right back.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Having more fun than we should in the fastest hour of daytime radio, I promise you. Man, oh man, it's so much fun to be here. Memorial Day weekend is upon us. It truly is Memorial Day weekend. I hope you've got big plans. I do. I'm going to be hanging out at the lake. I'm going to be grilling something dead. Loving that. Probably all weekend long. No doubt. Going to spend some time with my firearms, my family. Going to grill while armed. Always do. Grill while armed. It's such a beautiful thing. And I hope you have big plans also. I'm talking with Stacy Washington. Stacy on the Right is what you know her as. You can visit her at stacyontheright.com. Stacy, welcome back to the program. Too much fun.
Thank you for having me. I'm just glad to be spending my Friday afternoon talking guns and America.
Isn't it great? Let me take you in a different direction. I want to ask you a little bit about what happened in Manchester. Now, I want to do it from maybe a little bit different perspective. Some people might be shocked to hear me say this as the host of Armed American Radio. But it's quite likely that a pistol on someone's hip would not have stopped that attack in Manchester, in Great Britain, for reasons that whoever may have been armed might be too late. Look, good people paying attention and being aware of their surroundings can get ambushed. I have written a book about folks in that situation and brought them on this program. It happens. Sometimes it happens. But here's the bigger picture, Stacy, and here's where I want to get your comment. When you disarm an entire society, an entire nation, you open yourself up to this type of activity to a much, much greater extent than here in the United States. because anybody that has any idea of doing anything like that in the United States will think twice. Now, some will slip through. We're going to be attacked. There's no doubt about it. We have been attacked before. We will be attacked again. But I can promise you that they will think about where they go because people are armed. This state, Europe, the entire continent, the population has been disarmed. Do you agree with me that when you disarm a population like that, we invite this type of activity, this terrorist activity?
I do. And I actually wrote a piece for America's First Freedom this week. It was, I think it was out on Monday. I'm a little punch drunk from all I've been writing a bunch, and I'm glad, I'm grateful. But it was about the Washington Post publishing some article. Well, so you know the terrorists, ISIS, have a magazine, Rumiyad or something like that. And in it, they put most recently, their most recent edition, they put out this screed about how in America, it's so easy to buy guns that you can go to gun shops and you can also go to gun shows and just walk in, no background check, yada, 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 buy a gun, and then you can use it to kill many more people than some of the other methods of attack that they use. So then the Washington Post, after quoting them, doesn't debunk any of the lies that they're putting out and then quotes a bunch of Democrat senators talking about how easy it is to purchase firearms and how, you know, the NRA is somehow a part of that negativity. And I have to say, you know, it gets me mad sometimes when I read this stuff, but for them to quote and basically push propaganda that's created by ISIS, I thought that was beyond the pale. So to kind of connect that to what you're talking about in Manchester, it's Democrats like the ones here in the United States who work for the Washington Post, and they're on the Democrat side of the aisle who want to disarm Americans. They want to put us in the same situation that those individuals are in overseas. And we already have some of that here. You can't carry your firearm into Busch Stadium, our baseball stadium down here in downtown St. Louis. A lot of concert venues will have signs up that say no guns allowed. That's crap. You want someone in the crowd to be armed because, as you said, there are times when an attack is going to prevent the lawful use of a firearm to defend yourself or to prevent the attack. But what about the others? There were more people involved than just the one attacker who blew himself up. If the other attackers had been running around and trying to get to a place where they could blow themselves up, an armed shooter, a good guy with a gun could have taken one of them out. But this isn't about whether or not guns help prevent the attack in Manchester. It's about the fact that everyone knows in Great Britain it's very difficult to get a firearm. Only the criminals have them. Here in the U.S., we have 350 million or so lawfully owned firearms, and everyone knows we're armed to the teeth, and we still have terror attacks. So we need more ability to carry our firearms, like the national reciprocity. We need that. We need the elimination of these gun-free zones, college campuses, libraries, movie theaters, and we need more people to get trained and to be empowered to be the sheepdog, not the sheep.
Well said. And there are, let me leave it this way. There, I go back to conversations I've had with a very good friend of mine over the years, Susanna Hupp. Susanna Hupp was in the Luby's cafeteria in 1992 when George Henard, the madman, got out of his vehicle after ramming it through the window, exited the vehicle, and just systematically slaughtered 23 people, including her mother and father, in front of her face. I appeared on Fox News on the Stossel show with her, on the same panel with her and Nikki Gosar. And I remember John Stossel looking over at me, looking past me to her and saying, "Would you have been able to stop that attack had you had your gun with you?" Because you see, like six other people, Stacey, her gun was in her car because she was following Texas law at the time.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, when you go in a restaurant, it's okay to go to the grocery store and the convenience store with your gun, but you got to leave it in the car when you go to a restaurant. It's patently absurd. Just like why you can't carry it on a bus. But it's okay to walk up to the bus stop with it and get out of your car and have it at the car. But you can't get on the bus with it. It's ludicrous. The fact of the matter is, she looked right at John Stossel and she said, "You know what? I don't know. But what I do know is, it would have changed the odds." And I repeat that statement a lot, because how true is it that an armed citizen being there where bad things are breaking out may very well change the odds? True statement, isn't it?
Well, and they always come back at you, Mark, and they're like, "Well, you know what? If everyone has guns, then there's just going to be more accidents, and people are going to be more tempted to, when they're angry, utilize their guns." But gun owners have a lower rate of crime than law enforcement. So we know that that's not the real problem. And when she talks about it would have changed the dynamic and it would have improved the odds, oh, my goodness, that's it right there. If you're listening and you're getting chills hearing that quote, it's because it's the truth. And so I'm not saying guns are the answer in every situation or that the only thing that we can do is, you know, expand more gun ownership, but I'm saying it can't hurt. I'm saying, you know, look at it conversely, which is criminals are now aware, they're intimately aware of where we're not allowed to carry a firearm. So they know all they have to do is take down the overweight security guard at the door, the overweight security guard at the other door. Sometimes they only have a taser anyway, so they're easy to take out. And then you've got everybody else who's unarmed, except the ones who are disobedient, who are carrying against the sign, you know, in the movie theater, in the library, et cetera, et cetera. And so this is the chance they take. If we weren't to have these signs, Mark, we would have people, some guy takes out a gun, he's going to shoot up a movie theater, someone else takes their gun out and puts two in his chest, then people would think twice about stepping into movie theaters and trying to massacre people because they'd think, well, anybody sitting in the audience could shoot me, so I'm not going to try there. I'm going to try someplace where I can actually kill people because these people are cowards and they're psychopaths.
It's happened before.
You know?
It is like arguing with a rock, but we can go to and point out, and this always fascinates me, because they will refuse to respond. And I got to hand it to them. They're great with their talking points, and they're great with their not talking points. By that, I mean they're really good at staying silent about the things that it completely, totally, utterly expose their hypocrisy. Prime example of this. We'll take this up to the break. I think we're going to run up into it, but that's okay because I'll get your opinion when we come back. Is the Lee County in Florida sheriff's deputy being beaten on the side of the road after a stop. Broad daylight, about 5:30 in the afternoon. Cars driving by, people filming it. Standing outside their cars with cell phones filming it. He's being beaten by a black man. When a black concealed carry permit holder exits his vehicle, is seen on surveillance or on video. We have the video of it, security camera footage of it. Walking over carefully to see what's happening, raises his firearm, warns the individual beating the cop to stop. When the individual doesn't, he fires three shots and kills him.
Mm-hmm.
It's all caught on tape. The mainstream press, now we've got 30 seconds, so I'll just kind of lead into the break here, but I don't want to have to stop you. But here's the big picture. That was one of the greatest human interest stories of the year. Black CCW holder kills black guy trying to murder a white officer, and the mainstream media completely flat out ignored it because the individual used a gun. He used a gun that was lawfully carried. He was a concealed carry permit holder. And everything that happened on that street destroys their narrative and exposes their hypocrisy. I want to get your opinion about what I believe should have been the biggest human interest story of the year when we come back here on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Stacey Washington. Back right after this.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, The media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You too can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
I can't help myself here. I have to wait for that music to go away. There you go. Thank you, Chantel. Glad you're in another studio, brother.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for that. Hey, man. USCCAonAir.com, self-defense shield insurance. I got a great email from Michael Rochester, who is a USCCA Platinum member, and I'm just simply not going to have enough time to read it today. Michael, I know you're tuned in. I know you are because I responded and said I was going to read it. It's about the pit bulls and the conversation I had yesterday, happy ending stories. I promise you I will get to your email. I might not make it to it. I probably won't make it to any emails over the Monster broadcast because the guest lineup will move very quickly. However, I will get to it on Monday. That much I can promise you, my friend. If I told you I was going to read it, I'm going to read it. But USCCAonAir.com, because he's a Platinum member, that reminds me, the Platinum coverage is the same that I have, $1.125 million in protection. That's called peace of mind. When I walk out the door with my firearm, which I do every day, and I will be in just a few minutes, I have peace of mind knowing that I have coverage if, God forbid, in the unlikely, and it is highly unlikely event, that I might have to use my firearm again. Because, you see, I've already used a firearm once. Thank God I didn't have to pull the trigger. So I know it can happen, and I know how fast it can go down. If you haven't had it happen, you might not know that. That's why I tell you, okay? This coverage is available to you. If you carry a gun, if you're thinking about it, please, please take advantage of it. USCCAonAir.com, it's all there for you in black and white. Check it out. Read it. Read the testimonials. The single best coverage in the country, bar none. Believe me, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. You'll see why. Head over to usccaonair.com and join the ranks with us, okay? Become one of the hundreds of thousands of Americans that can sleep at night knowing that they have coverage in the event that they have to use the firearm that they carry every day. Let's go back to Stacey Washington. Stacey, pleasure to have you here. Let me get your thoughts on that, because I'm referring to the Lee County Sheriff's Deputy in Florida months back that is alive today. He's alive today. And this was at the height of the Black Lives Matter deal. I mean, this was a classic, bar none, amazing human interest story that went nowhere with the mainstream media.
Well, it certainly bust a whole lot of narratives that a lot of people were standing videotaping it and kind of in video voyeur mode. And the police officers on the ground, from what I understand, he had actually yelled for help a couple of times.
Right.
And he's getting the stuffing beaten out of him. And the person who stops is not only a concealed carry certified individual, but a black man. And he jumps out. And the way he strides over there, he orders the guy to stop. And the guy just keeps wailing on this police officer. And he orders him to stop. I think he does it twice, maybe three times. And he says, I'm going to have to shoot you if you don't stop. Right. He doesn't stop, and so he shoots him three times. And the guy falls over, and the police officer, like, you can hear him thanking the guy. And then he just walks away. And they're like, where are you going? Oh, no, stop and stop. There are some people who are watching. They're coming up late. They see the shooting. They're like, you got to stop that guy. I'm like, no, he saved his life. And then he walks away. And he goes and gets back in his vehicle to wait for the rest of the police to arrive, because obviously now he has to explain, I shot that guy who was beating up this cop. You know, here's my firearm. Here I am. So he's going to do his proper procedures as someone who's just discharged the firearm. And this should have been, he should be on the Today Show. He should be on,
right,
you know, Good Morning America. Everybody should have had him on to talk about what were you thinking in that moment? What made you decide to go ahead and shoot? How did you know it was the right time to shoot? These are fantastic questions I'd love to ask the guy. But instead of him being a hero, he's just vanished off into the netherworld because he shouldn't have been carrying a firearm, first of all, as a black man. And second of all, the narrative that a black man would shoot another black man who's injuring a police officer kind of goes against Black Lives Matter and all that other garbage they try to brainwash us with. And this goes against their narrative, as you said. And so they couldn't highlight him, but I wish they had, because he deserved a whole lot of kudos from Americans.
Don't you think the split screen, or with the interview crew and him and the officer whose life he saved, and maybe the officer's family, would make an incredible news story on the Today Show or Good Morning America and Fox and Friends? Or maybe it wouldn't. Why wouldn't MSNBC want to cover such a fascinating story? We know the answer to that. Kind of a rhetorical question, but at the same time, it has to be asked, because they can't. If they do, it destroys and exposes. Now, you know, I'm going to say, I bet there's conversation in those newsrooms. God, I would love to cover that. You've got a reporter out there somewhere going, man, I would love to cover that. And a superior going, we can't. I mean, didn't you see what we played yesterday about guns and gun control guns being bad? This would blow that right out of the water, Paul. That conversation had to happen somewhere, didn't it?
Well, I
would hope it did.
A couple of guys, a couple of camera guys who aren't really, they're not really partisan. They're just into good stories. And they're probably talking about what kind of awards they could get out of a story like this. You know, that kind of human interest piece where someone's life is saved by a regular everyday Joe who was carrying a firearm. I mean, they're missing out on opportunities to highlight great journalism and also to reinforce the truth that Americans know. I think I read in Rifleman magazine that it's 500,000 times a year, 498,000 times a year, concealed carry gun owners, you know, use their firearm either by showing it and, you know, forcing the person to leave them alone, or by shooting to defend themselves, that they prevent a crime or defend themselves and save their own lives. That is a stat that hardly no one knows. They don't talk about that at all, because if they did, that number would be 700,000 next year, because people would be putting these criminals where they belong. And I don't mean to make it sound as if there's no redemption, because I'm a Christian and I believe anyone can be redeemed. But I also believe that if you're coming into my home, and I live in the Castle Doctrine state, and you know good and darn well you know it, and you come in here armed, that you should expect not to leave here on your own steam, because now you've come into my home. And that should be the expectation for any criminal, that if they decide to arm themselves up and enter a person's residence, their personal space, or their vehicle, that they're taking their lives into their own hands. I'm not saying that because I want to kill anybody or I want to shoot anybody. I'm saying that because I want to defend myself and my family, and I'm going to do it. And so, you know, it's your choice, because I'm not going to go rob you. So don't come rob me. That's what I'm saying.
You know, interesting. Let's go to that number you just put out, 498,000. That number, we hear that even on the left, they're down to 180-some thousand a year. So let's do the math together. 180,000, that's there's the zeros. Let's divide that by 365. That's 493 defensive uses of a firearm every day in America. The number you put out is 1,300 plus a day.
defensive uses of a firearm that the media never talks about. Now, individual, the newspaper you used to write for before they did you, God knows, the biggest favor in the world. But they,
I always laugh when someone mentions it because I wish I could share all of the wonderful things. This is so good.
One of these days,
so much.
Would love to pull that out. But they, I won't even name them, but they report on a daily basis, the little blurbs, homeowner kills intruder, convenience store clerk saves cashier. You see these on an individual, you know, city-by-city basis, but there's no national database of this, and we all know it. And by the way, I want to thank Jeffrey Smith, who sent me the other day we were talking about Chicago per capita murder rate, and I said I believe St. Louis is the highest. St. Louis, 59.3. Baltimore, 51.1. St. Louis is number one, murder rate per 100,000. Baltimore, two. Per capita.
Chicago
is eight.
Number one for total murders. Yeah.
Incredible stuff, man. Really incredible stuff. Hey, we're getting ready to end this hour. I want to take this opportunity to say thank you again. I love having you on the program. I can't wait till you come back again, and I got to bring you to the Big Monster Show. So maybe in the next couple weeks we can do that. Fair enough?
You text me and say when. I'm at your disposal. I love coming on your program. I get emails and people are like, I heard you on with Mark, and he's, he's so fantastic. I'm like, isn't he great? So thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate it. And, Memorial Day, I hope you have a very restful, relaxing day with your family and doing whatever you feel is best for that day, and a great weekend to you as well.
And you the same. Perfect place to end it. StacyOnTheRight.com. You can follow her at Twitter at StacyOnTheRight. Stacy, thank you. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. I know you're going to. We will see you on the radio. In the meantime, carry on, everybody. Carry often. Carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. Don't be that person. And I'll see you on the Monster Broadcast. Until then, have a great Memorial Day weekend.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.